so very much.
The promises of God, where will we be without
those promises? If you are of the female gender, will you please stand to your feet right now? I want you guys to get a look at this. Let's give them applause. Thank you. You may be seated. I am, as Sandy said, I'm so thankful for the godly women at this church. So thankful for where would the church be without women? I thought about that and how many times when men have been too sorry to carry on the mantle, the women have kept the families together, kept them in church. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the woman that God has put in my life. Good Lord, somebody say amen. Because where would I be without her? I cannot tell you. I probably wouldn't be your pastor, okay? Because I can't comprehend serving the Lord without her. She means that much to me. And so thankful that God has placed the women in this church and the women in our lives. And guys, we need to have a big amen with that. Because without them, what would this world be like? It would be a very dull place, would it not? All man caves. Right, that's what it would be. All man caves, ball games and wrappers and hamburger wrappers and stuff like that. Praise God that He put women on this earth. And so I want us to think about that this morning as we go in. By the way, Children's Church is let go. If you need to go to Children's Church, they're already back, and so you can go on back. But I want us to think about today. I want us to look at 1 Peter 1. We'll be looking at 1 through 6. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. I want us to stand to our feet. Now, ladies, don't hang me yet. I want us to, we'll look at the context of it. And these verses are not some of the most favorite verses for women in the Bible. But God is going to show us something. Even though we might not like them, they're God's Word. And so let's stand to our feet. 1 Peter 3. We'll be looking at 1 through 6. And so the Word of God says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be from the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do not do good and are not afraid with any terror." Let's pray. Father, for a few moments, I pray. Thank you so much for Baptist Women's Day. Thank you for the women in this church. Thank you, God, in your divine creation, you created one suitable for Adam. Thank you for that. I pray today that you'll show us what true biblical beauty means to you. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Biblical beauty. Say it three times quickly. We don't like the idea of submission. Okay, let's be honest. We don't like that idea. We don't like that word. Why is that? Because what does our culture tell us today? It's about status, it's about authority, it's about these things that make us of self-worth in our culture. And so when we hear this word submission, man, I'm telling you, one of the number one things of the weddings that I have performed over the last little bit is for the ladies that always come up and say, "Don't put that obey part in there, okay? Come on. Don't put that obey part in there. We don't like what we've done with that." All right, listen, the truth be known, what men have done with that, you shouldn't like it, ladies, okay? Because I want you to know when we look at God's Word, life and everybody's life is a life of submission. Aren't you glad that the Scripture says that Christ, as we're going to next week celebrate Easter, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, that the Scripture says that Christ submitted to the Father. How many of us can say praise the Lord for that this morning? So life is submission. And I'm going to tell you something. When the Scripture says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ love the church. How did Christ love the church? This much. He sacrificed for the church. So it's pretty easy, ladies, to come. That word submission means to come under that idea, to come under a man that's loving you as Christ loved the church. How many ladies can say amen to that? It's So when we come to these scriptures, I want you to know, we'll lay out the context of it. 1 Peter is written to the persecuted church. It's all about, think about the Roman government and how it persecuted the church. And so he's already, when it says likewise there in verse 1, he's talking about the last two things that he preached about in submission. And what he talked about was being submissive to the government. Hello? The Roman government was crucifying, was hanging, was killing Christians, and yet Peter says, be submissive to the government. And he talked about masters, be submissive to masters. And so he's showing this life of submission that we all have. Peter is saying we're all in a life of submission. And he's saying likewise. And so he turns to the, you know what, the greatest, we're relational creatures. Human beings are relational creatures. I mean, look at us. We gather together in relation. I want you to think about in the garden at the beginning. God created Adam, right? And he raised him up. He's in perfect fellowship with his heavenly Father. He has all these animals that surround him, and yet he was what? Lonely. He was lonely. God had created in that, in his heart, that vacuum that he needed, that suitable helper. And what did he do? He created woman. And I want you to know today that man and woman is created in God's image and are equal in his sight. There's nothing inferior about any female gender. In fact, it's the same, and we see that in Scripture. And when a society does that, there is a detriment to the Word of God. In fact, I've heard many people say that Christianity has demeaned women. Listen, Christianity has brought an equalization to women and the female status of this world, okay, when it's done correctly. I thank God for women. They're made in the image of God. There's nothing inferior about anybody. So we're the same, and so when we come to this, but I want you also to know that in these relationships, the highest form of relationship is marriage. God created it in the beginning. It's the first thing he ordained. When he brings Eve to Adam, and he says, whoa, man! Woman. Whoa, man! No. He's saying, look, and he said, this is Isha. He was Ish. This is Isha. It means for me. Part of me. And he brings woman, and God ordains, and their first marriage takes place. And I want you to know that's our greatest attack in our culture today. Can we see that? Why? Because if you take away that relationship of family, you destroy society. When you try to make it look other than something than what God made it, it's destroyed, and it's not the creation order. And we'll talk more about that when we get back in Romans. But I want you to know that in this relationship, Peter, we pick up this place here where we realize in the early church that we talked about in Sunday school. Donnie did a great job today. There was 95 of you in Sunday school today. Praise the Lord. If you wasn't there, come on out. You're missing some great time in fellowship. But listen, and he was talking about when the new church was birthed, that we see that there was some within the families. You had a believing wife and an unbelieving husband. And he thought, how do we handle that? It's not saying now, the Scripture says, don't be unequally yoked. If you're a believer, do not go out and take an unbeliever for your spouse. That's what the Scripture says. So it's not saying that, but it's saying in the midst of this new church, this new thing called church, they were some unbelieving husbands and believing wives. And how do we handle that? And so really we take this context that Peter has taken that and said, this is how you need to handle that situation. And he's talking about true beauty and how God sees beauty. You know, our society has done a mind job on our women. From the time they're little, man, they're taught that this is what you're supposed to look like and all these things. And we need to get back. We need to stop looking at Hollywood as our example of beauty and start getting back to the holy word of God. What is true beauty? What is it that God sees, ladies, this morning as beautiful to him? And so I want us to think about these things in true beauty. Let's look at three principles this morning. First, biblical behavior. Look at verses 1 through 2. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. That even if some do not obey the word, that's where he's talking about that loss, without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. when they observe their chaste conduct accompanied by fear. We see that word conduct used. Anytime you see something duplicated, what's it speaking about there? And Peter's already talked about likewise, and I said that he's reverting back to this idea of submission, and so he's saying likewise and referring back. But he's pointing out that we're all in that relationship of submission before a holy God. And he's telling these wives, he said, it doesn't mean that your husband is supposed to reign supreme. Hello. He don't get up in the morning and Mr. Macho and say, where's my slippers and my breakfast? You need to take, you need to take something to him, right? The old frying pan. It's not talking about this idea of him reigning supreme or this macho man. Couldn't help it. What is it, that world's most intriguing man? I thought, where in the world did they get him? Dear Lord, couldn't they give a better example for men? He needs some just for men or something. But listen, but he's talking about this idea of this love, and he's speaking about this vital key to marriage and how he's this unbelieving wife. He's telling her, he said, what are you supposed to do? Because one of the questions would be, do I leave him because he's an unbeliever? And Peter's saying, no. You try to win him. You use your relationship that you find yourself in for evangelism. And we'll bring that out as we go along. But it's talking about this idea of lining up under. Yes, men and women are created equal, but there are differing roles. And the problem comes there. God has created this order, this role that he wants us to have. And none greater, none lesser. We're the ones that do that. But he's saying, hey, line up under your husband. And he's speaking. He also says, to your own husband. Women, he's not saying be subjective or be submissive to all men. He's saying to your husband, allow him to lead. You say, well, he's not capable of leading. It doesn't say that, does it? I want you to know, ladies, if he's too sorry to get out of the bed on Sunday morning, you get up, get the kids ready, and come on to church. Why? Because you have a great example also in those kids. Somebody needs to show them Jesus and teach them right from wrong. But it's talking about your husband, this intimacy of marriage that God has placed him in a leadership role in your family. And it says, and if some of them do not obey the word, this unbelieving husband, you want to see what it's talking about, these examples that he gives of this idea that if she lives this life in front of him, that he may be one, that evangelism, the whole purpose of submission unto God to whoever we submit to is for evangelism. Why? Because the world tells you, don't submit to anybody. You are the survival of the fittest, man, the top of the heap. You don't do any of those things. It's all about Christ-like attitude for that platform of evangelism, reaching people for Christ. What greater mission field than your own family? No greater mission field. And he's talking about this submission to God in it is a daily life given over to the things of God to reach others that has with the gospel of the things that has changed you. We talked about this morning also in Sunday school about people ought to be able to see that in your life. You've heard me say that over and over and over again. We can say with our mouth, but our life plays out exactly what we believe. And how we live speaks louder than word. I like that we need to live louder than words. And he says what? When we observe what? Observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. He's talking about look at her when he observes her purity and faithfulness. It helps make this Christ that she's speaking about believable. A loving and gracious and reverent attitude is the most evangelistic tool in a believing wife. That loving, reverent attitude is the most effective evangelistic tool a believing wife can have. To live it out before him. It's not berating. It's not nagging. It's behavior. Does it do you any good to nag, nag, nag sometimes? But if you live it out and you live out what you say in front of him daily, it speaks volume. That's what the scripture says. Husbands, What happens if I have that husband that he's supposed to be the spiritual leader? He says that he's a Christian, yet he doesn't lead in that example. Again, ladies, you continue on. You've always put God first. It comes before your husband, Christ, in your relationship with Christ. It's the greatest relationship that you have. He chooses these things that you don't think lines up biblically. You go on and you line your life up biblically. How difficult. That's it. That's not an easy thing to do in today's world. But that's what the Scripture is saying, that this beauty comes through that relationship with Christ, with God through Christ. Not only is it in a biblical behavior, but look at what biblical beauty is in 3 and 4. This is what it says. Do not let your adornment be merely outwardly, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be from the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Listen, how do we answer the question of what is true beauty? We deal with it biblically. We see what God's Word. True beauty does not come from a mirror. It does not come from a mirror. It comes from a relationship with Christ, with God through Christ. That's where the beauty comes from, is what he's saying. It's an inner beauty. If I asked you ladies, how much did you work on your inner beauty this morning? Boy, I'd be stepping on toes, wouldn't I? How much did you work on the inside? I promise you, you look good. You got the outside taken care of. But how much of us prepared inwardly? That goes for men too, by the way. And it's saying, listen, this scripture is not saying don't wear your hair fixed or don't wear makeup or don't wear jewelry. This is not what it's saying, okay? Because it says merely. That word merely means, hey, it's okay. The old saying, if the bar needs painting, paint it. I'm glad you ladies fix up. You look nice. You're presentable. That choir, my goodness, how beautiful. It wasn't this all outward beauty, but it was because it was full of ladies that loved Jesus and loved their church. And that's what was so beautiful, man. They almost to the point of tears when I said, yes, Lord, as you sang from your heart unto the Lord. And so that beauty, it radiates from the inner beauty. It's not saying don't wear makeup, don't wear jewelry, don't do this. It's not saying that. It's saying don't let that be. And that's what culture tells you that dictates your beauty, is this outward appearance. And when you line up and when you look like this and you look like that, you see the advertisements, you see the magazines, you see all these things that does a mind job on our ladies. You say, listen, that is not what makes you beautiful. It's that relationship with God and that inner beauty that comes forth. In the Greco-Roman world, and if you study this out, you remember the beehives, come on, the beehives. They had some beehives, okay? It was all about dialing it up and getting it all teased up just right. And you had the highest bun and whoever had the most gold and glitter in it. You know what that was? It was a competition. It was who could look the prettiest, right? I noticed early on as a man, okay, I'm going to give you this 101 man noticing thing, okay? You could get real trouble. I'm going to be very careful. But when I would go to the mall with my honey, you know, and I'm walking around, I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking pretty good. I've been working out, man. I'm probably going to look pretty good. Look, this is before Christ, by the way. And I'm noticing that the ladies that's going by ain't checking me out. Who are they looking at? Honey. They're looking at, women are checking her out, see what she's wearing. If that looks good, oh, I love those shoes. I'm going to have to get me some of that. And I'm like, look. What am I, cold cuts over here? Look. Ladies, you know it can be a competition. Come on. It's the world dictates that to you. And this Greco, that's what it was all about, this Greco-Roman environment. It was just about who could outdo the other, who could look the prettiest and all these things. And if we're not careful, we find that in our own hearts too. It's called pride. Paul said, don't dress up to draw attention to yourself. Dress up to draw attention to Christ, the Christ in you. Men, help her to give her the things that will help to make her beautiful on the inside. Why? Because beauty is fleeting. Gravity takes its toll. You can't hang stuff but so long on stuff, right? Gravity takes its toll, and so it's not about this outward look. Men, teach her that. You need to tell her every day she looks beautiful, okay? Because somebody will. You need to tell her how beautiful that she is. You say, well, I'm just not that way. You better get that way. In the Lord, tell her how beautiful. Help her to dress modestly also. Help her to, listen, if it looks good to you, if you know what I'm saying, it's going to look good to somebody else. guard that. Be very careful what you wear, what you're showing off, what you're flaunting. Help her with that, guys. Again, you're trying to guard her heart. You're trying to guard her status, her standing before the Lord. If you wear those little old tights that's so comfortable, cover it up. Okay? We don't need that in God's house. I don't care how comfortable they are. I don't want to have to on Sunday morning be having to bounce because I'm worried about what somebody has on. Men, help her with that. Help her. Because it's not about this outward beauty that draws attention. So it's not about the outside, but it says, rather let it be from a hidden person of the heart. Adorn yourself with Christ-like spirit, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And he says, that's precious in the sight of the Lord. He says, that's what God sees. When he looks down, he's saying, man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Appreciate your woman. Man. Appreciate her and love her. And help her be what God's called her to be. Not what the world says beauty is, but what God says beauty is. A quiet and a gentle, a humble and tranquil spirit. The Lord is most pleased when a believing woman's modest yet thoughtful and lovingly adornment reflects the inner beauty of Christ, what He has fashioned for her. That's when He's most pleased. Well, lastly, our biblical example. Our biblical behavior, biblical beauty, and then our biblical example. Look what it says. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, if you do, and are not afraid with any terror. Peter said, man, you have great biblical examples of what true beauty was. It says, holy women. You say, well, wait a minute now. And you think that's something entertaining. It's talking about believing women. Are you a believer in Christ? You're a holy woman. He said, look at the examples that the Bible has given us who trusted in God. This is the key. Nothing to do with what if you like this verse or not. He's saying, listen, this is the examples that you have. And this is the key. What was the key? And what did he say? God. He's given us an example of this is what beautiful women look like to him. And he says, Sarah. And look what it said. They did not adorn themselves, but they were being submissive to their husband. In other words, they lined up under him. We don't see Abraham cracking a whip, do we? In fact, we see Sarah that had influence on him. And the things that I remember when Hagar and Ishmael got out of hand, who was it? Sarah said, listen, you're going to have to send them away. And Abraham was tore up. He goes to God. And you know what he said? Listen to what Sarah's saying. You know what, guys? We need to listen because women have this discernment that us men don't have a clue. We're walking around like, no, she didn't think that about me. Look, you better listen. Why? Because God gave her a godly discernment, an intuition that you do not have, and we would do well to listen to the women God has put in our life. Sarah, listen, Sarah wasn't some old hag either. In fact, I see when I read my scriptures, I see her at 75 years old as they go down to Egypt. They had to lie about whether that was his wife or not. Why? Because she was so beautiful. What made her so beautiful? Her relationship with God. She radiated. 75 years old, you got to worry about, listen, this is my sister. This ain't my wife. Because she's worried about killing him over the beauty of Sarah. 75. She's not some ugly hag. She's a beautiful woman, holy woman of God. What made her so beautiful? Man, she was God's daughter. She knew her place. She found her self-worth in her relationship with God, and she allowed her husband to be used of God. Whose daughters you are is what the Scripture said. When you make a commitment to Christ, you're not afraid to do what's right in the sight of God. Don't line up and conform with what the world says. Line up with what God's Word says and what He says to you. You're not afraid. You're reverent to God. And that's your top priority. He says, man, that's so beautiful. So Sarah's stunning beauty radiated from her relationship with the living God. She recognized that she was not here for herself. We're here. we understand that, it changes our view of our wants. Our want or don't get hung up is bad. When we have that understanding that it's about Christ. You realize this life is flowing by. Did anybody say amen to that? Screaming by. Man, it's already Easter. We're looking at April. The Easter lilies are blooming. Everything's blooming. I mean, your sinuses are tore up right now. I know everybody can say amen to that. So time is going by so quickly. We don't have time to sit back and scratch our head and wonder. We need to get on board with God's program. Get back to what the Word of God says. And within the family of God, the unity that was spoken about in our church, be unified. Does that mean we're going to agree with everything? No. But it means that we're going to agree on the main thing, and that's Christ and the gospel going forth. And ladies, you have a huge part in that. You have a huge part in that of gospel going forth. Empower your men. Be that example at home. Let your kids see Christ in you. Let them grow up to be godly men and women that will change this world because they had the example, not just on Sunday, but on every day of the week. True beauty is not found in a mirror, but in the mirror of the Word of God. Submission to God is a daily life given over to the things of God. Listen to this. A daily commitment to love people in His stead. It's great beauty before God. Eternal life has observable characteristics. Don't tell me you love Jesus when you can't see Christ in your life. You're going to see Jesus come forth. Well, our applications. Let's play. Lynn, if you'll come and play. Listen to this first application. Are you more concerned with the outward beauty than the inner beauty? Just a question. Are you more concerned about what the outside looks than the inside this morning? Be honest before the Lord. Number two, do you see your relationship to your husband as second to Christ? Oh, now listen, mamas, that means before your children. Oh, wait a minute. That's biblical. Christ. And your husband. In that order, truth be known, them kids are going to grow up and leave you. You're going to be stuck with, who's that? When you poured your life and that's the center of your life, it's just your kids. Look, when the kids are gone, you have nothing in common. And lastly, do you see everything you do through the lens of evangelism? Do you understand even the way you dress, the way that you act? Everything it is a platform to present the gospel of Christ to your family, to the community, to those you work with. Do you see everything through the lens of evangelism? Let's stand to our feet. Ladies, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're a female today, I want you to come around this altar and pray right now. Just right now. Come on. Get down around the altar and pray. Find your place. Man, that's going to about empty the church. You get that phone out of the way. Guys, look around. Pretty shallow in here, ain't it, without them? That's how important they are to the church. That's how important they are to you. I want you guys to pray for these ladies because the world tells them what beauty looks like one way and the Scripture says another, and it's a constant battle to fall into those different patterns. You got a woman up here, you make sure and tell her how beautiful she is today. Let her know. Keep playing, Linda. Guys, extend your hand towards them. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much for these ladies, these women that you brought to South Fort Baptist Church. Some visiting, some a part of the family. It doesn't matter. They're all our sisters in Christ. We say it so thankful. I pray that all are have a relationship with you. If they do, then they're our sisters in Christ. And so we're asking you in Jesus' name God, help the world, the culture that tells them that this is what beauty is, and help them to find that inward beauty with that relationship through Jesus Christ. Help them find their self-worth in you and nothing else, Lord. God, raise up, Lord, the young women. We have a church full of kids young girls that need desperately an example of Christ to live by. Raise up a generation of women that stand on the standard of your word, Lord. Thank you so much for these and how they've been faithful to this church, how they've served at this church. God, I pray your blessings on each and every one of them. God, I pray they'll find their self-worth, not in the mirror, but in the mirror of God's word. And thank you so much. Bless each and every one of them. Thank you for the work and the announcements, the things that they've been doing. I pray, God, help them to do so much more for your kingdom and for your glory. And all God's people said, they're making me look good. Look, thorn amongst roses. What did you say, Ben? Amen. What a good day. Listen, tonight, 6 o'clock, right here, kids program. Bring somebody with you. Easter, they said, is the most attended Sunday the observance, any Christian observance we had at Easter is it. So invite somebody with you. Invite for them to come to the children's program tonight. We'll stay and have cookies after we drink this fellowship. We'll have a great time. And then next Sunday morning, you'll know you've got the sunrise service at 7 o'clock. You got breakfast at 8 and the cantata at 9:30. Busy Sunday morning, but that evening you'll be off to have your nap, so you ain't got to worry about it. But bring somebody with you. We give out 500 of those little cards. Make sure that you give them out. I expect that 500 people are going to have those cards before next Sunday, okay? To be a good steward of what we've done. Listen, I love each and every one of you. Ladies, thank you. Thank you for what you do. There's been a lot of great ladies that sit in this pew that's went on to go to be with the Lord. And now, it's your turn. Thank you for what you do. I'm going to ask, Pam, will you close us in prayer?